Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games as all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies feline with a death wish.
The Texans were back at practice yesterday. Tank Dell wasn't part of that practice. Neither was Joe Mixon. Damian Pierce didn't practice either, but the reporting suggests that he will be available on Sunday. He's certainly closer to playing in a game than Joe Mixon is right now, still recovering from the hip drop tackle he suffered in their week one win. So that's where we are with injuries. We'll see if Tank Dell's back out there at practice. Maybe he's limited. Maybe he's a full go. And then if he's not practicing today, then we'll have some concern about his status for Sunday. But right now, it could just be simply giving him a day, an extra day. And we'll see. We'll see where that goes. But D'Amico Ryans was obviously there, and he spoke. Big concern about the team, other than just simply losing, was the offensive line and their play, and more specifically, their penalties. So D'Amico Ryans said it was addressed, and he went a little bit further. Here's D'Amico Ryans discussing what the team needs to do and if they fix their O-line pre-snap penalties.
The pre-snap definitely has been addressed. Well, again, we spent time on that, talked about it. We addressed it, and we see on Sunday that it's been addressed, and we'll handle it really well. Offensive line had a great day at work today. Everybody's dialed in. Everybody understands who we are, what we're about, and what it's going to take for us to get back on track, and that's what we're focused on.
The illegal formation penalties can be addressed. Hey, we're just going to line up in a spot where we make sure we don't get called for that anymore. In fact, we're going to treat ourselves. We're going to have our O linemen act like wide receivers, where the wide receiver will look out to the sideline and point and go, am I good, to the ref, so to make sure they're on the line or they're off the line, so they don't commit illegal formation penalties. Will the Texans go that far? They might need to, at least early, but I think we shouldn't worry about illegal formation penalties, at least as if they're caused by the O-line. I'm not going to worry about that. The false start one is the one. I don't know how you fix that, because are you going to tell Laremy Tunsil after years of doing it to just hold your water and don't jump early? You can try, but is he going to listen? Because I assume he would say, I'd rather get called for a penalty than give up a sack. So that'll be what I'm locked in on. Fixing a legal formation seems pretty easy. Just scooch up a little bit. You should be good. Ask the ref. Am I good? We're good. But can you keep your starting tackle from jump and snap counts, from anticipating? And I understand that's kind of part of it. You know when the snap count, you know what the snap count is, you know when the ball is going to be snapped, so you're moving. But is he going to be someone to avoid that, who's going to be looking in? Or do they do the holding hands thing, like O-line sometimes do when they're in a hostile environment, where the guard holds the tackle's hand, so once the guard moves or lets his hand go, he knows that it's time to move. How do they fix it? I don't think they'll be holding hands. But it's been done to know when the snap is and to avoid penalties. Is Laremy Tunsil just going to all of a sudden fix his anticipation issues? D'Amico Ryans seems to think it's been addressed. Now the question is, yes, it's been addressed. So you've addressed it. But addressed. Was that addressing, if that's a word, taken in and take it in and say, you know what, you're right, I'm going to do it differently now. I mentioned it. What Laremy Tunsil does with it is up to him, but we have talked about it.
I mean, he has to get called less for it going forward because he's gotten called for 7 in 2 games.
It's very hard to keep up.
7 in 3 games.
It's very hard to keep up this pace.
Yes, it'd be insane if he kept this up. So I do assume that whether it just depends on the ref crew that you get for that game or whatever, that this will be less of a problem going forward. Yeah, he's definitely not doing the hold hands like we're Iowa State going to Ohio State. They're definitely not going to do that, especially this week at home.
I would hope it's not necessary at home against the Jaguars.
Yeah, but I think that it'll just get called less. I don't know how much Laramie will change. I just think it'll get called less just because it can't really get called to the level it's being called right now.
I would agree. I don't know if we're going to see any real tangible evidence on the field that whatever they did to address it, other than less false starts. I don't know if there's going to be something very visible to let us know.
If he just starts giving up a ton of sacks.
Well, if he's late on snaps, how petty would he be if he goes, oh, okay, wanted to address it? We'll see. In fact, he doesn't even get out of his stance on the first drive just to prove a point.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Is he that? I don't think he's that petty because it's embarrassing for him.
Yeah, like a scene in a movie where the offensive line lets
hate the quarterback and they just let him get smashed.
Let the quarterback get smushed.
The problem for our potential wonderful moment is these things are on TV. Like if the NFL wasn't on TV.
Yeah.
I could see Larry Tunsil going, okay, I'm talking all that. Okay, we'll see.
Okay.
Get hit a couple times, but yes,
Josh Allen thinks about.
Yeah, these games are on TV, so he will try his best not to get his quarterback killed. We will just see how he has fixed his issue after years of not fixing it. And I guess we credit D'Amico if all of a sudden Laramie Tunsil never gets called for a false start, at least not to the level he has been getting called for him.
Yeah, that is part of the reason I'm not optimistic that anything changes with what Laramie Tunsil does, is because this has kind of been the book on him for 5 years.
Through multiple coaches.
When he's been on the Texans. So.
Through disciplinarians like Bill O'Brien, through substitute teacher like David Culley, through, hey, I'm just trying to cash my check, Lovie Smith, through the new hope that is D'Amico Ryans. It does not matter. Laramie Tunsil is going to commit false starts and then make an excuse about why he's committing these false starts. The refs are out to get me. Man, I respect it. Blaming your failures on someone else, it's an American way. It's not my fault. In fact, he's actually saying, I'm not doing anything wrong. They're unfairly calling false starts on me, despite all the evidence to the contrary. That's my favorite part about Laramie Tunsil. He knows we can see the television, right? He's aware that these things are in HD. Maybe he could get away with that in standard definition, but this ain't 1993. I can see you moving in HD. A little flinch. I can see it. There are enough cameras on you to tell me that the ref didn't take it out on you. He saw it, just like we all saw it. Not the drip, not the all-pro status, not the ability to negotiate a contract. His willingness to lie in my face and tell me, that guy's targeting me. You didn't see me false start. You're making that up. That's my favorite part about him.
He has a little bit of a point with how often other tackles will do it.
Well, Jawan Taylor is the one.
Yeah, and Lane Johnson is another one who it feels like about once or twice a year has some opposing fan base cut up
losing
all the time.
Their minds, yeah.
All the times he leaves early and doesn't get called for it. But yeah, dude, just clean it up. Just like, who cares? Clean it up.
Yeah, I don't care if you're being unfairly targeted because the officials have it out for you because they hated that bong video. I don't care what the reason is. Figure it out. You are short-circuiting drives, and we saw against the Vikings your team was incapable, and I'm not blaming the rest of the team. They couldn't overcome your penalties.
Maybe he just needs to chill out a little. Maybe put the gas mask bong back on.
Yeah, I don't think Laramie Tunsil is going to
keep him from being so jumpy.
I really don't think he's going to petition the league. Hey, if you let me do the gas mask bong thing again, we wouldn't have these type of problems. In fact, he would tell you that video was old anyway. I wasn't even doing that anymore.
Yeah, that was when he was at Ole Miss.
No, even at Ole Miss, you go, hey, that's a video from the past. I wasn't that guy at the time that video was released anyway. I wasn't that guy. I was getting ready for my NFL career. So we'll see on Sunday. Has it been addressed? Sure, I believe they've talked about it. Will it matter? We'll wait for that first series. Laramie Tunsil does have the likes of Walker and Josh Allen, the other Josh Allen. Now, that's a question we might ask tomorrow. Which Josh Allen will be more impactful over the next 2 weeks against the Texans? The defensive end or the quarterback? Because they're going to see both in the next 2 weeks. So it'll be a test for Laramie Tunsil against that Jags defensive line. Very talented, just hasn't led to any Jags wins. But I would blame number 16 on the other side for that, not 44 and 41. Okay, when we come back, we'll hear from the Texans quarterback. A lot more successful in his last 8 starts than Trevor Lawrence has been. Hard not to be when Trevor Lawrence is 0-8. But our quarterback here in town still has confidence in his OC, whether you do or not. The Bobby Slowick slander is coming, and it will continue to come when you have a young, talented quarterback and the offense sputters. But if you listen to CJ, you should know Bobby Slowick isn't the problem. We'll hear from CJ Stroud when we come back.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
What do you do when you hear the commentary, the chatter about your OC not doing his job well? After 3 games, the Texans are 2-1, but it isn't a 2-1 that I guess some people think is attractive as far as what they've done offensively. They struggled against the Bears. They had a chance to put up 20 plus points, but Cam Akers fumbled. Now your top 2 running backs, at least on the depth chart, weren't available on Sunday. No Pierce, no Mixon. And we saw the Texans offensive line struggle the last couple weeks trying to run the ball and protect the quarterback. CJ Stroud has been hit quite a bit. The number, I believe, is 11 sacks through 3 games. And, of course, just throw probably double the hits on him. And if not for his ability, particularly in that Bears game, to escape... to hit Nico Collins, the hits, he probably would have been sacked maybe in the range of 14 times overall this season. So, questions about the Texans offense. And Bobby Slowick is the conductor of that offense, at least. Well, maybe he's designing it while CJ's doing all the conducting. But CJ Stroud up at the podium yesterday after practice, he's heard the chatter about his OC, and he still has the utmost confidence in Bobby Slowick.
And that's the job we signed up for. And, you know, Slow has done a good job of just keeping the head down, working. But, you know, we all have faith in him, and we know that he's trying to put us in the best positions, and we got to buy into the system and just as much as he has to call good plays. And, you know, we're it's not a finished product just because you add good players on the team, you know. It's a work in progress, and, you know, you don't really get your set, like, football team, I feel, until, like, week 5, week 6. But, you know, the time is of essence, and, you know, we got to get rolling. But, you know, I have the utmost faith in Slow, and I know that, you know, he's been great, but we got to buy into the system just as much as he got to call great plays. And we know we all grown men. We got to do our jobs. So, you know, we all talk about we got each other's back, and we're going to keep holding each other accountable and having each other back.
If your offensive line isn't playing well, you can't, for the most part, run a good offense. You have to do so much to compensate for him that it short circuits a lot of what you do. So I'm not even looking at Bobby Slowick. We had to look up his name, and we forgot it, so I had to look it up again. I'm looking at Chris Strausser. Chris Strausser is the O-line coach for the Texans. And they have invested a lot of money in that O-line, and they've used draft picks to draft high. They use draft picks to trade for Laramie Tunsil and then pay him. So there's a lot of investment there. And I will start with Strausser before I talk about Slowick. Through 3 games, they still don't handle games very well. They are a young group at two of the spots with Kenyon Green and Juice Scruggs. Now, Juice Scruggs missed game two, but he was back for game three, and they were probably worse in game three than they were in game one and two. Now, they dominate the Colts running the football, and their offense looked pretty good. It's easy to dictate terms when you can run the ball like they did. When they weren't unable to run the ball in games two and three, the offense struggled. So we don't know Chris Strouser's name. A lot of people don't. That's why I had to look it up again. So Bobby Slowick is going to catch all the heat. But I would look to the O-line coach. What's going on there? We can talk about play calling all you want. But if you have to compensate for a bad O-line, you really have no shot of running at expert efficiency. But I will say this. I don't think it's Chris Strouser. Maybe Bobby Slowick and Chris Strouser came up with the plan to have Cade Stover block Jonathan Granada in the first play of the game.
That's worse if that was the plan.
Well, of course it's the plan. On play one, you can kind of set up what you want to do. It's scripted. Of course the plan was we're going to leave him the block. Unless we come out and find out that Laremy Tunsil is supposed to do something else because it was on the left side of the line. The plan was to shift protection. Oh, okay. I'll give you this. Maybe CJ walked up to the line and said, okay, we got an extra guy here. We got to shift protection, and it left Cade Stover on an island. Okay. To your point, maybe it wasn't the plan, but I don't have any evidence that it wasn't the plan.
If it was the plan, that makes me feel worse.
We have seen
that plan was doomed from the start.
Yes, and I think they allowed it to happen again, and then
it happened twice,
and it resulted in a sack.
And John Grenard post game was like, "That's disrespectful."
Hey, what do we like? I thought Jaylen Brown to the Lions, not the Lions, the Pistons was disrespectful in his comments. Well, it was the utmost disrespect to treat your sack leader, your at least last year's team sack leader, who is now on a different team, that way. We're going to put a rookie tight end on you. And Jonathan Grenard was big on he's happy to be in Minnesota because they respect me here. And if he didn't think he was disrespected by the Texans because they didn't offer him a big enough deal, he had to think they were disrespecting him when they threw out Cade Stover and said, handle Jonathan Grenard. I don't know. I have to review the play to see if CJ was up at the line changing things. But to your point, if that was the design, who do I blame? Because the OC and O-line coach don't work independently. They work together on that stuff. So you guys both catch it. Cade Stover catches about 40% of it because he's the guy who got his ass kicked. But the guys who put him in that position get half and half of the rest of the 60% remaining as far as blame ply.
Yeah, he got his ass kicked, but he shouldn't have been in that position.
Yes. That was a rough spot to put him in, and probably he wouldn't have been there if Brevin Jordan was available. But Brevin Jordan, we know, won't be available for the rest of the year. So Cade Stover will have to be a guy they lean on. Get the O-line fix, and it goes beyond the penalties. Handle a game up front at some point. You should not be getting hit as often as CJ is simply because guys are running games. I don't know what's worse. Being beat physically like Cade Stover was, the design was terrible there, as we pointed out. But, okay, there's a guy to block a guy. Sometimes the other guy wins. But these games being played that the interior of the offensive line keeps getting beat on, and I'm not talking about, okay, the D-line gets an angle on you and he has leverage and he beats you. We're talking about guys being set free. Guys not even being touched. That's happened too often over the last couple weeks. Got to fix that. Can't be good offensively if your offensive line is missing as much as they have. So Chris Strouser, you're on the list, buddy.
Yeah. Better hope that on Monday.
I forgot your name.
We have to look up your name again.
Because if I look up your name on a Sunday and don't even have to wait till a Monday, things have gone poorly. If I got to watch CJ Stroud running for his life from Josh Allen. Is it Hines? Is that how he's...
Josh Hines Allen.
Josh Hines Allen and Walker and the rest of the Jags. I'm going to learn Strouser, buddy. I'm going to learn it on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
And that means on Monday, we're going to have a conversation about you and Bobby Slowick. Have the utmost confidence if you want, CJ, and I respect you for defending your guy. And I imagine you still believe that. I'm just going to need the Jaguars defensive front not to have a good day. I don't need the storyline coming out of Jacksonville is that the defensive line we expected finally showed up. I don't need that.
Yeah.
Not that I'm going to go to JacksonvilleJaguars.com or whatever the hell the website is named. I don't know what their papers are named either, but I don't need that storyline.
Trevon Walker, statement game.
Yeah. Aiden Hutchinson, who? I don't need any of that.
Yeah. Do the Jags actually feel good about passing on Hutchinson now?
Yeah. I need none of those stories. I need none of that being part of the NFL conversation on Sunday afternoon going into Monday morning. Watch it, Strouser.
Yeah,
I'm looking at you.
Again, if we know your name on Monday, not good.
Yeah.
Not good for you.
Yeah, if I'm mumbling Strouser in my sleep on Sunday night, we got a problem.
Yeah, that actually is the real thing. If I at some point on Saturday or on Sunday am going, Strouser.
Yeah, Strouser at it again.
But if I just forget, if it doesn't come up, and then on Monday I'm like, oh yeah, let's look up his name again.
Yeah, to give him a compliment, Strouser fix all the issues. If I'm like, Strouser, then
damn
I'm like,
you.
Then dang it. But if I'm like, Strouser, then that means you got the job done. Hopefully it's the second one, because more importantly than just how I'm reacting, it's how your quarterback's going to have to react to the pass rushers that the Jags have to offer. Okay. We'll move on from one Chris Strouser who had hoped to be anonymous the rest of his career. Not anymore, buddy. You got a franchise quarterback back there. You better fix it. We got a couple more seconds to go here before we wrap it up. And I'm going to tell, at least in my opinion, why the John Wick, what, we're at four movies now? The John Wick franchise has, I won't say they crossed the line. I'm in fact going to say they've accomplished their greatest feat. I'm going to talk about that when we come back.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
John, are you a John Wick fan?
Yes. I think I've seen, I guess, all but the first one in theaters.
Okay.
So I go out of my way.
I think it was two in a theater. The rest I've caught later. Sorry.
You didn't see Parabellum on the big screen?
I don't believe so.
Boban Marjanovic, you're like, nah, I'll watch that.
Did I see him get his head smashed on a book in the theaters or at home? I don't remember.
I was like, that's worth the $12 right there.
See Boban. It led to a Peacock series, The Continental, that I did not watch. Mm. Did you watch it?
No.
Okay.
I've not watched any of the spinoff.
Okay. But I am locked in on the ballerina. The fact that they've been so successful through four movies that they could secure Ana de Armas to be an action hero. Now, she's been in a Bond movie before as an agent, a young agent, naive one. And then she was also in Ghosted, which was a comedy with Chris Evans where she was like a spy. He sought her out. It's as dumb as you think it is on Apple. But she is the young assassin and the one we're going to feature in a John Wick type movie.
She's
I'm in.
The ballerina.
That's her past. But in the trailer, she's doing all the John Wick moves.
Nice.
The gun's held in the way that John would hold it because she was trained to be maybe someone who eventually would be able to take him out. I'm in. I love a woman as an action star. I mean, I love Kate Beckinsale as Celine in the Underworld movies. They're not great movies, but I'll watch them. I will watch them. I love a vampire movie, and I love a Kate Beckinsale playing a vampire who has to kill other vampires. This doesn't have the vampire element of it, but it does have Ana de Armas shooting guns, killing people with an ice skate. And also in this trailer, they have a guy with a giant flamethrower coming after her. And what she does to combat it, she finds a high-powered water hose. And they have one of those battles like
where, oh my god.
I know it sounds dumb, but watch the trailer. It looks awesome. And the music's hidden. I got some chills.
Oh,
I got some chills. I'm in. They got me. I'm going to the theaters for this.
I was gonna ask, it's a movie, not a TV show?
It's a movie. And of course, if it goes the way we expect it to go, we're gonna have a lot of ballerina 1, 2, 3, because the franchise will continue.
There's gotta be a crossover too.
Oh, he's in the movie.
Oh,
we see him in the trailer.
Okay.
They have a conversation. He's already in the movie.
There we go.
And And I'm sure when John Wick 5 comes out, particularly depending on how this goes, she will make an appearance in that one, and then she'll have her own series. Come on now.
The Wick Cinematic Universe?
Yes! We're there! And the fact that the final scene is her talking to him, but also the final action portion of the trailer is her using a high-powered water hose to fight off a flamethrower, and you think it's dumb.
No, I don't think it's dumb.
You said, oh, come on. You did do that.
Yeah, but I just...
Watch it. When you get a chance...
I didn't think it would be a water hose.
After Paul calls on a couple clips, and you have in the middle of the show or during a break, depending on how you want
it. How long is this trailer? Is it like the Thunderbolts?
No, it's not 3.5 minutes long. It is a normal running trailer, about 2.5 minutes long.
Oh.
A little bit shorter than that, actually.
It's too long.
What? It's a break. That's a break.
No. I just mean too long for a trailer. This is my war against trailers.
How long should a trailer be?
60 seconds.
That's a teaser. So you want everything to be a teaser?
Yes. And I want the teasers to be like 30.
But what about the trailer before the trailer, inside the trailer?
That's like five.
Like that 10-second thing, like they give you this flash of clips, and then they get to the trailer.
If I'm the trailer czar, that's just going away. But if I have to honor this weird tradition that started, I don't know, a decade ago, like 5 seconds.
Well, the Sinners trailer, the Ryan Coogler movie, is
great trailer.
205.
Great trailer.
Did you see it?
Yes.
Oh, you saw it before I talked about it?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. It's short. You don't see anything.
Yes.
You know there's going to be a lot of stuff going down, but you don't see anything.
That's the real issue with the 2-plus-minute trailers.
They give you too much.
Is that you see the entire movie.
Yes.
Like, you walk into a Mission Impossible movie going like, okay, so I know at some point he's going to have to do X, Y, Z. And so you spend the entire movie kind of waiting for that moment. I want to be surprised.
Well, the Thunderbolts teaser is like a couple scenes. It's not really a trailer. It's just, hey, we're going to put a couple scenes together just to let you know who's in the movie. But it doesn't really, like, give me much story.
Okay.
So it's long, yes. But it's just like they put scenes together that don't have a lot to do with each other just to let you know, oh, this person's in the movie,
Dave
this person's
Barber.
In the movie.
All right.
Yeah.
Still doing the accent.
Yeah. Not improved, but still doing it. So, Sinners, you're in on. You've seen it. It's the vampire Ryan Coogler movie I talked about earlier. You have not seen The Ballerina. I'm a sucker for a female action hero.
But
I'm
I
in.
Am, I guess I am on the fence of whether I watch it.
The trailer or the movie?
The movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Even though John Wick's going to be in the movie?
Yeah. I'll say I'm like 65% likely.
In the trailer, his face is cut. Like, he's John Wick. Of course, he's been in a battle. So I'm not sure if we're going to see him fight in the movie, but he is walking in his hobbled way. I'm not sure the timeline either. But, hey, you put Ana de Armas in something where she gets to kill. Legit kill. Not like in a James Bond thing where we're talking John Wick level stuff.
Yeah.
Whereas even in the trailer, we see someone...
Water hoses, flamethrowers.
A hatchet go through a guy's chest in the trailer. She doesn't do that. She uses the guy to protect herself.
Yeah.
The bad guy kills the other bad guy with the hatchet because he was trying to hit her.
Classic.
I'm in. They got me.
Yeah.
I don't mind it. So there
I'm
it
not
is.
All the way in, but I'll say I'm like...
You'll watch the trailer. You may not get the chills because you don't have the bias I have to the female action star.
I think that's what it is.
But...
I'm a sexist. That's what it is.
Misogyny.
Yeah.
Sean Mapes.
Yeah.
Oh, really? She could really do that? Really? You think, oh.
Well, does this whole movie take place in the kitchen? Come on.
Well, you Granado.
that might have been subconscious voice
not,
that I did.
I mean, she's not killing people with skillets. And, well, yeah, knives. Kitchen knives?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
Her cooking might kill someone, right? Yeah.
Well, is she poisoning people on accident with her cooking? Whatever. Yeah, so it's out. The Ballerina, that trailer is finally out. You can check it out. Michael Carroll, who will join us on Friday, probably to talk about that trailer. He walked by because I was playing the trailer in a break, and he was like, The Ballerina? I was like, yeah, The Ballerina. So me and Michael have something to talk about tomorrow as the host of Comicast joins us at 11:30. We have... an NFL game tonight. I'm not that enthused by. Of course, we got college football on Friday. We got a nice weekend of college football this week. We got a big game. It's not to the level of one of those game of the century things we used to hear a lot about like 5 years ago. But it is Georgia versus Alabama. Two top five teams. I think it's too early in the year to give the game of the century type of feel.
Yeah, I think it has to be October or later to get the full treatment.
These two teams are 7-0, and plus, you can't really call anything the game of the century when these two teams could lose to that game and then another one, and maybe even another one, and still be considered a potential playoff team. So the game of the century stuff, I think, is gone, but this is a big one. Just to see where, it's funny to say this, where Alabama is, considering Georgia's now the beast of the SEC, despite the fact that Alabama beat them and actually made the playoff while Georgia didn't last year. Georgia still looked at as the odds on SEC monster, because we still don't really consider Texas an SEC team quite yet, although they are the number one team in the country. So Georgia has Alabama, then they'll have Texas. Looks like the weather's going to be okay. We have the hurricane going through maybe right now in that area, so we'll see how bad the track is as far as the field is concerned in Bryant-Denny Stadium. But I don't think weather will be much of a concern at game time. So that's the big one. I'm trying to think of other. We got Illinois playing Penn State. Penn State will get their first test of the year if you exclude Bowling Green, who gave A&M all they wanted, as Marcel Reed won that one after getting the job from Wegman through injury, but maybe he should keep it at A&M. So we got some stuff to get to. I will talk a little college football when we come back, as it's always going to be a focal point of the show. We got one more segment to go. If you want to get in and call in, if you want to call in about the ballerina, if you like Ana de Armas killing guys with high-powered water hoses, or just, you know, the regular handgun, you can call in about that, 713-780-3776. We will be back. But first, let's talk about my bookie. Can you bet on the number of kills in the ballerina? I don't think so. You'd probably have to get a deal with my bookie and whoever makes the John Wick movies. But you can take part in weekly risk-free boost on Thursdays. It happens to be Thursday, so you can take advantage. What it means is you can bet really without worrying. If your bet hits, you win big. And if it doesn't, you can forget it. MyBookie will refund your wager. So if you have a feeling about what's happening tonight on Thursday Night Football, take a chance. And it's not even a chance, because you're going to get your money back if you don't win. Remember, MyBookie also has a couple of contests you can take advantage of. They're called Super Survivor and Squares. You can join in now for your shot at huge cash rewards. And that's kind of the feel for MyBookie right now, particularly when you join in with their MyBookie Plus program. It's their loyalty rewards program. It rewards you for your loyalty. See how that works. The more you win, the more you play, the more you win. And it's pretty simple. If you climb through the tiers of that loyalty rewards program, it unlocks more chances to win more prizes and bigger rewards from MyBookie. Just check it out. Just go to mybookie.ag and remember the promo code BET975 to make your money go farther with the match. If you put in $200, they'll match it. Up to $1,000, they'll do that for you. Remember, go to mybookie.ag and bet on anything, anywhere, anytime with MyBookie.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So the big one on Saturday, as we mentioned, is Georgia, Alabama. Illinois and Penn State play at the same time. And that's a big matchup in the Big Ten. Just got the wrong time slot. Sorry, guys. How many people are going to be tuning in to Luke Altmyer and Drew Aller while Alabama, Georgia's going? Don't think many, unless you love Big Ten football, which people do.
Yeah, that's going to be quad box at best.
If it's lucky?
Yeah.
Yes. So that speaks to, I guess, the level of games that you have those two matchups, and they're both on the same network as far as – actually, I take that back, sorry. Illinois – Penn State's on NBC. So NBC said, hey, you Big Ten people, come watch, let's just say, two teams that we think are in the second tier of the Big Ten, behind the likes of Oregon and Ohio State. Come watch them. Penn State's the top 10 team, could possibly make the playoff. Maybe they're probably closer to Oregon than I initially said when I called them a second-tier Big Ten team, but at least this season. But I don't think they're close to Ohio State. Penn State certainly will have a chance to prove that as the season goes on. Speaking of Ohio State, they face Michigan State in their first action against anyone who has any athletes who are anywhere close to them. Now, they're expected to blow out Michigan State, but Ohio State's been off the radar, mostly because of the opponents. They've been dominant. They've looked like they should have against these teams. They just haven't played anyone that was going to get anyone to watch. I think they're on the Big Noon kickoff last week against Marshall. We had better things to watch. A couple other games. We have Notre Dame trying to keep their playoff hopes alive. They host Louisville on Peacock. Ooh, that's rough. It's on Peacock. Not on NBC. That's an interesting... I guess it's one Peacock game that they're going to do, and they picked a top 25 matchup to do it for Notre Dame.
Shouldn't have lost to
well,
it's, they lose to?
It is their network. They could lose to anyone in the past, and they still have the game on NBC. Yeah, but with Peacock lost. Being a thing...
Shouldn't have lost to him.
I don't think that's why. I think this game might have always been on the Peacock streaming service.
You can't debate me that they should not have lost.
Yes, I'm not questioning whether they should lose to Northern Illinois.
You're saying that they
home.
Should have lost to him.
Well... I'm saying I'm happy they lost to them.
Yeah, no.
But I don't think that is the term why they're not on NBC.
This is a weird one, too. I mean, that's really what Peacock does, is like try to come up with reasons for you to watch a Peacock game.
Yeah, and if we had Peacock, we could have watched the Continental.
Yes. I mean, I do have Peacock, so
and
I'll
you
be...
still didn't watch it.
I mean, all I do is watch the random, you know... did they have? I think they had Oregon Boise State on Peacock.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, just pull that up on the laptop. But as far as their programming,
you're out on that.
I'm not out on.
You're
it.
Just not interested.
Not what I'm looking for.
No, but Louisville Notre Dame is on Peacock. So if you're wondering why two teams who have playoff aspirations isn't on your TV, it's because you have to fire up your streaming service if you happen to have Peacock. That one's a little rough. If you're NBC. I mean, they planned it this way, but it's just a surprise. Another top 25 matchup, Okie State, Kansas State. Two teams coming off losses. The Kansas State game was late at night. They went to Provo and got smashed. It was like over the course of the last 5 minutes of the second quarter and the first like 3 or 4 minutes of the third quarter. That middle eight, as it's called, where they fell apart. Avery Johnson, their quarterback, was not good. They gave up a big punt return on what was almost a disaster for BYU, like the punt returner muffed it. It nearly bounced into the end zone. He picks it up and runs like 95 yards for a touchdown against Kansas State. So the schedule's not bad this week. And you can start to pick and choose things that are not top 25 related, like Arkansas and A&M are at it. I don't want to call them this because it's sacrilege. But when I watched, I think his name is Talen Green for Arkansas play.
Yeah.
The number 10, tall, the long legs. He's got Walmart brand Vince Young vibes. Just watch him. I'm not saying he's Vince Young.
Yeah,
He's a junior, so it's not like he's just coming on the scene. And he's immensely fun to watch.
Former Boise State quarterback.
Yeah, they should be 4-0. They blew a game. Arkansas should be 4-0. They blew a game to Oklahoma State. But watch Talen Green play. He runs with an ease that kind of reminds you of the kid out of Madison who went to Texas. He's just obviously not him. But I'm just saying, I don't know where Talen Green's from, but wearing the number 10 at his age, I wouldn't be surprised if he grew up watching Vince Young and said, I'm going to be him. And he's not him. But he's going to be tough to tackle for the Aggies in Jerry World.
So we got Dylan Raiola trying to be Mahomes. We got Talen Green trying to be Vince Young.
He just happens to be 6'6", 230 from Texas, okay. Louisville, Texas. It just fits. I don't know why he's wearing number 10, but if you told me he grew up watching Vince, I'd be like, it tracks.
I'd be a little bit surprised.
He's a junior.
So Vince, he's 21?
21. Vince was, well.
In 2005?
Yeah. He would have had to watch highlights. Someone in his family was a big Vince Young guy and showed him stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you're right. We're getting at a point where college kids can't be honoring guys we watched when we were kids. But just watch him play. If you haven't watched Taylen Green and Arkansas play, and I know there's not a lot of reason to watch Arkansas play football, but if you're an Aggie fan,
shades of
like I'm going for Odie's instead of Cheerios. Shades of
Vince Hydrox. Young.
Yeah,
he's Hydrox.
Yeah, if you're buying great value brand things, this is a great value Vince Young.
Okay,
this is what I see out of him. And he's a pretty talented player. We'll see what he does against the Aggies going for on Saturday, which in its history has always been one of those games where
it's pretty wild.
All right, it's the fourth quarter. Let's fast forward to the fourth quarter where this game is 3 points, and let's see who wins.
Yeah, because you have two teams that are pretty consistently in recent history pretty unserious outfits.
Definitely.
When you have Arkansas and A&M get together. So, and normally, at least one of those teams is doing something that is not advised late in a game.
True. Very true. So, check that out. That one, look at the time for that one.
2:30.
So, that's in that 2:30 window if you want to check it out. Okay, let's get to this. Earlier this week, after their blowout of the Jags, Josh Allen made comments that made people think, hey, he's talking about Stephon Diggs. Josh Allen made comments about how nice it is to have people who don't care about their stats. Like, hey, everyone gets theirs. No one's pushing to get their targets. We're out here just balling, having fun. And people, we know who he's talking about. We know who he's talking about. And then he was asked whether that was meant for Stephon Diggs. Because he had to clean it up. You got to clean it up in today's age. Everything can be turned into something. He goes, I know there's a lot of people talking out there. Again, I'm not trying to tear down anybody. I loved everybody that I've played with. That's probably a lie. And you don't have to tear other people down to build each other up. And we're building each other up right now. And that's all we're trying to do. We're trying to stay together as a team. And then when asked about Diggs specifically, he goes, yeah. And again, I love 14. I still do. But everyone wants to keep making this thing a thing. We're so focused on what's going on inside of our building, and that's the only thing we're caring about right now. Josh Allen, I mean, you're dating Haley Steinfeld, so you're up right now, beyond the fact that you're going to be likely the MVP if you keep this up. And I don't think you're a dumb guy. You run around sometimes, and you look dumb because you don't protect your body, but I don't think Josh Allen's dumb. You know when you say it's nice to not have to worry about keeping someone happy, what everyone thinks. He did that. Josh, come on. If you want to avoid it, avoid saying what you said. Don't, hey, I don't know what's going on. Stop it. You're not stupid. I appreciate you trying to clean it up because for some reason, maybe Haley's PR team should tell you, words can travel fast and people will blow things up even if you think it's not a big deal. But I think he wanted to get a shot off. He's feeling pretty good about the night. People were questioning whether we would be good. Look at what we're doing. I'm gonna get something off, and then you realize, oh, I don't really want to have to answer these questions over and over again. So let me clean this up.
We're gonna play him in 2 weeks.
Let me clean this up now. Yeah, unless we're gonna go big meathead quarterback, and he couldn't possibly have known what was gonna happen, which I'm not going to do. He knew, and it's fine. Say if you say it and you believe it, that's cool. I'm actually more bothered that he cleaned it up. Yeah, I said it. What do you think I meant? Of course. But you got to. This is how the world works. You got to clean it up.
Stay on business.
Yeah, 10 toes down, Josh Allen. I mean, I care less about what he said than more about every time I look at that new movie Sinners in the trailer. Josh Allen's going to be at the premiere.
Oh yeah, with both Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah, well, there's one.
There's two in the trailer.
There's two in the movie. Like every time I have to watch her in something, whether it be if she does the Young Avengers thing or she's in this movie. Oh, she's dating the guy who's ruined a lot of my Sundays because he's the quarterback of the Bills. Cool.
Yeah, I guess that's true for you. It's a little, the sting is a little bit different.
Yeah, it's a little worse. Man, I'm not the dummy. He goes, I can't believe she's with Josh Allen.
Damn, she's taken.
I'm not an idiot. That's not the deal. I just want to watch something and not be reminded of some guy who's tortured me for the last half decade when I watch football on Sundays. All right, we're done. The show known as Gallant and George is up next, followed by the Killer Bees. And since we're done, what does that mean?
We did it!
we did do it. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Looking for a little Hollywood-style fun? Check out Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways exclusively at Chumba Casino. There's 10,000 ways to play. Get spinning for free at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.